Welcome to Soundography, a crash course in music, one band at a time. I'm Brian Ibbett.
And I am Hammond Chamberlain.
And today we are, we're going weird. We're going weird, Hammond.
We are weird.
Oh my gosh. This is like, remember Frank Zappa? Yeah, we're going weird.
Like this is Frank actually, Zappa. I think Frank Zappa seems grounded compared to this guy.
I think so, yeah. Yeah, like, I'd enjoy, were he still alive, enjoy sitting down and having dinner with Frank Zappa. And I think there would be, you know, lots of great conversation. I worry that if I were to sit down with Arthur Brown, who is the subject of our episode today, that there would be no sequence. It would be so full of non sequiturs and random yelling. And
it's like that. It would be like that. I see it based on your description. I see it like that Kevin Pollak joke about what's his name? Christopher Walken, where he says, So Christopher, tell me about your new movie. He goes, Frankenstein never scared me. And he goes, well, tell me who you liked working with in your new film. But marsupials do, because they're fast.
That is, that sounds like both something Kevin Pollak would joke about and something that Christopher Walken would do.
But I feel like that's kind of what you're implying your meal with Arthur Brown would be like. So Arthur, tell me about that song.
Wouldn't it be great if that was on fire right now?
This was fun, but very mind-bending. I feel like that, so your dinner party has him kind of being non sequitur. I feel like by the time I was done, I think I was the crazy one.
You may be. You know what? There might be something to that, for sure. Well, let's talk about him. Arthur Brown, the subject of this episode of Soundography. He was born in 1942. He's an English rock singer and songwriter. He's known for his theatrical performances and eclectic and experimental musical style. No doubt about it, when you see his album covers, you know, you kind of know what you're getting into.
They kind of short sell it in some cases.
That's true, yes. It's a tease as to what you might be getting into. Arthur also has a wide-ranging operatic voice with high-pitched screams. Know that. He also has been known to use face paint, a burning helmet, weird, boy does he like Photoshop or whatever he was using back in the 80s and 70s for album covers. Lots of weird photo tricks to go along with the face paint and helmets. Although he was born in England, he moved to Paris in 1966 to work on his theatrical skills. He returned back to London in 1967. Now, as far as albums go, you got to do a little bit of searching, or not really searching, but there's a lot of different paths that you need to go on to listen to his library. There's Arthur Brown. There's The Crazy World of Arthur Brown. There's The Amazing World of Arthur Brown. Kingdom Come. And then he's also got associations with Hawkwind, The Who, and others. And he's also played with a lot of very, very appropriate contemporaries like Jimi Hendrix, Frank Zappa, and The Doors, and more. Which is absolutely, you know, once I saw that, I'm like, yeah, his music totally fits with Jimi Hendrix and Frank Zappa. Like, if you drew a line from Jimi Hendrix to Frank Zappa and then continued that line about the same distance, when you get to the end, you'd reach Arthur Brown.
Yeah, exactly. And then you throw in Venn diagrams on top of that line for all the prog artists, Iron Maiden, Yes, Genesis, all kinds of stuff in between.
Ozzy. Yeah,
Ozzy, for sure.
There's a lot of it. After a short time in a ska band, he started his own band and quickly earned a reputation for the outlandish. Can't believe he was in a ska band. Wow.
I think that's why it was a short time in a ska band.
A very short time in a ska band.
At one of the festivals, he set his head on fire by accident and a bystander put it out with a beer. And from that point on, the flaming head was a signature move of his.
Wow. Oh, that is a very dangerous precedent to set as your signature move.
Yep. I mean, the flaming head was my closing move in wrestling. But it was his signature move every night.
It feels like it could be your just permanent finishing move. I'm going to end the concert with, I'm going to end every concert with setting my head on fire, and you do one more concert.
Yeah.
And that's it. Yeah. In 1968, he released his first album. This was called The Crazy World of Arthur Brown. And it spawned his best-known single, a song called Fire, which reached number one in the UK and number two in the US. And you know this song. Well, you talked about that.
I am the god of hellfire, and I bring you fire.
We've heard this song. We've heard the song on this show because Ozzy covered it. We'll get to that a little later. But once he released this song, it became so ubiquitous that from that moment on, he became known as the God of Hellfire.
So appropriate. And
well, with the flaming head too, it kind of ties in.
Yeah, that kind of.
It's a good thing he wasn't the God of Water and Waves, because the flaming helmet wouldn't have worked.
No, but maybe he's the god of both, and that water helps put out the flaming head. By the way, the album charted number two in the UK, number seven in the US, and it was executive produced by The Who's Pete Townsend. The album also features a cover of I Put a Spell on You, which has also just been covered by everybody else.
The opening lines of The God of Hellfire have been sampled and used, as I said, by tons and tons and tons and tons of people.
Yeah, it's almost better known than the song itself, if that makes sense.
And it comes out of nowhere. I mean, it says, I am the God of Hellfire. And then it's like the Brady Bunch kicks in for the music.
Well, I don't know if it's that.
It's really upbeat, Brian. It's one of the most major key songs that lead in from a comment about Hellfire I've ever heard.
I'll give you that. I don't think it's quite Brady Bunch level, but
Partridge Family. Then we'll make it a little bit more grim.
Ooh, a little darker. Yeah, I like that. I like that the Partridge Family is just like the darker version of the Brady Bunch. It's like saying
there's a tragedy there. She's a single mom. She's making her kids work to pay the bills. There's some tragedy there.
Sure. Well, but he's a widower. Mr. Brady's a widower. But
they found love again.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
And they do now well. They have a housekeeper.
Now we're slipping into like a Rihanna song here. His follow-up album was 1971's Galactic Zoo. Now this is under the name Kingdom Come. So this is where you got to start drawing a little map to keep track of where all this stuff comes from. This was a highly complex concept album, apparently on the theme of humanity living in a zoo and being controlled by cosmic, religious, and commercial forces. But can you dance to it?
Yes, and that tells you pretty much all you need to know about who Arthur Brown is and will be.
Pretty much.
Show's over. Let's move on.
Right, exactly. You're kind of not wrong. In 1972, followed up with the album Kingdom Come, which again, also you'd find under his band, Kingdom Come. This was based loosely on the theme of water, bringing it back, which Brown had declared 4 years earlier would be the subject of the second album by The Crazy World of Arthur Brown. It was musically more conventional than the first, much less heavy, though in places it was a lot stranger.
All right. The fact that this is considered more conventional tells you how weird the other stuff is.
You'll never understand. I can see it in your eyes. Love is a spirit that will never die. Love is a spirit that will never die.
It's all out there. It's all just way out there. 1973, he released Journey, also under the name Kingdom Come. This is a space rock album with Brown playing an early drum machine. And those of you who are patrons know about our episode about 808 or are about to know about our episode.
It's out. It's out as we record this. I put it out this morning.
It's out as we record this. Okay, good. Good. This was especially noteworthy, by the way, this drum machine was especially noteworthy on the track Time Captives. Because the entire album was based around the drum machine.
They seem to be just exploring ideas with this new toy that they had. It was like they're just punching in things and saying, oh, that's cool. Let's do something with that.
For sure. Yeah, let's make a song based around that sound. Oh, cool. All right, how about a song based around this one?
Yeah.
For sure. Yeah, and this is space opera colonizing, the gods are controlling our brains and stuff like that. Great stuff.
Yeah.
The album was way ahead of its time, thought of as one of the greatest albums of the 1970s by many. Next up is a 1975 album called Dance. We go from, you know, fire and water and space concept albums to Dance.
Yep, Dance.
Awesome. He was listed as a contributor on the film Tommy. He was the priest in that film. And in 1976, he released Lost Years, a Kingdom Come compilation. Should that be Lost Years or Lost Ears?
Lost Ears.
Lost Ears, okay. Not a typo.
No, not a typo. Not on this one.
Lost Ears. I love it. In 1977, he released Chisholm in My Bosom.
What was now is also then. Know the time knows not of men. Make your way across the fray. Do you know what it's
not
like
about one of the Spice Girls. In the 80s, he moved to Texas and gained a master's degree in counseling.
And let's put a pause and a pin in that, because that's a strange thing to think out loud.
It really is. Yeah. Because he's releasing albums all through the 80s. It's not like he's taking a break to get his master's degree. He's
he's working
as well. He's releasing albums.
Yeah.
And boy, is he like, what does it look like when you go into his office for counseling?
It's a crazy world.
I see what you did there. In 1980, he released the album Faster Than the Speed of Light. I actually kind of dug this album.
Yeah, it's actually a pretty good album. It's one, if I were going to, outside of buying The Crazy World of Arthur Brown, which is kind of the tent pole.
Yeah.
I would probably buy, this is one that I would not mind having.
This one and another one that I'll talk about a little bit later. 1981, he released Speak No Tech. It was re-released in 1984 by Craig Leon as The Complete Tapes of Atoya. In 1982, he released Requiem. And if you look in Spotify, probably, I know it's an Apple Music like this, but Speak No Tech and Requiem are a double album.
Yeah.
So you can listen to both of those in one sitting. Well, you can listen to all this stuff in one sitting. What am I talking about? In 1988, he released Brown, Black, and Blue, which to me is like late 80s, early 90s blues using a Casio tone. kind of reminds me of, we listened to Leonard Cohen a while back. He had that album, Ladies Man, which has Everybody Knows on it, like the big, the big ladder of his songs, the ladder release of his songs, which feels like it was done on a Casio tone. This has that same kind of feel.
Well, it all, but the difference is that Leonard Cohen had like three notes he sang on. and God bless him.
Yeah.
But Arthur Brown has many, many more notes to sing on. So I understand the comparison, but I tend to disagree just because of vocal performance.
Well, okay, I'll give you that. I feel like the Casio tone is the...
That's the common factor.
The common denominator, yeah. But yeah, that's true. Arthur Brown finds notes that even haven't been discovered yet.
Well, they haven't been named. I'm sure they're there. It's just that they're those semitone notes. It's like a A flat sharp B minus.
Right. all right, let's see. After Brown, Black, and Blue, we have Strangelands. Now, this is actually an album that was recorded in 1969, but finally got released almost 20 years later in 1988. It was shelved by the label over concerns about a lack of sales potential. And reason, this was a more avant-garde sound.
And again, if this is more avant-garde, oh my gosh. Know that going in.
There's a wide spectrum, for sure. 1993, Order from Chaos Live was released, followed by another live album, 1994's Jam, which was recorded in 1970, a live recording. We move into the 2000s, skipping the 90s altogether, with Tantric Lover.
Now, I think this is a concept album about the story of Sting, right?
Yeah, right. Yes, exactly. It would be a three-hour
build-up.
Yeah, build-up. it's interesting, man. It's talk about sing-songy kid stuff. This, if I'm gonna throw the Brady Bunch comparison to, or even the Partridge Family comparison to any album, it's gonna be this one. For an album called Tantric Lover, it's got some very rudimentary, almost children's music kind of arrangements. Mm-hmm. It does.
Yeah. It's I don't want to call it simplistic because there's something to it that isn't.
Sure.
But if you're going to rank these in like albums that people could play, this one's probably one of the first ones I'd pick up and try to cover.
Yeah. I'm with you.
Fear never touches you. Your mind is pure and calm. I recognize myself in you, shining like a star.
He followed that up with another live album, the Leg Boot album, Live.
Clever title.
Yes. And then the next one, better than Lost Ears. And then 2003's Vampire Suite. Let's get into some weird stuff here. In 2003, a compilation called Fire, the Story of Arthur Brown was released. Kind of like a...
And I was going to say, I think that's what we try to find and link to. That's
our greatest hits. That's the kind of, here's all the stuff.
Yeah.
2007, The Voice of Love. Again, all over the board far as like album titles and styles and stuff. Like everything's on fire.
Well, and I think that's one of the reasons that people have a hard time with him is because he's not a metal artist. He's not a pop artist. He's not an experimental artist. He's kind of just an artist.
Yeah.
And if you like one album, there's no guarantee you're going to like the next three.
Right. Or vice versa. If you don't like something, listen to another album. You might end up liking.
Yeah. And I think that's one of the things that really, in all the groups we've covered so far, all the people, he's one of the few that you can't really classify. He's kind of boundless.
Yeah, even Zappa, I feel you could kind of describe in a few words.
Yeah,
what you're going to get: very eclectic,
progressive,
jazz-inspired, progressive,
experimental. Yep. Blah blah blah. There are lots of things you can say.
Yeah,
with him, it's just all the adjectives fit.
Yeah, very true. We're out of the 19s. We're in the 2000s. 2011, The Crazy World of Arthur Brown, Live at High Voltage. This is actually a limited release. Only 1,000 vinyl copies were produced. Even more limited release was The Magic Hat, an album that was released in 2012. Only 200 copies were made. This features Rick Patton, and there was an accompanying comic book, The Magic Hat, by Matt Howarth.
Now, that's something that you probably could find on Comixology, though. Maybe.
Oh, maybe. Jeez. It doesn't have to be one of the major comic producers, but still would have to be something that is...
bigger than Matt Howarth's Basement Productions.
Right. Bigger than a zine production.
Yeah.
In 2013, a crowdfunded album called Zim Zam Zim was produced. For me, this is my favorite of his albums. This is like Black Keys, Voodoo. Joe Hawkins, I Put a Spell on You. You know, we talked about I Put a Spell on You earlier. That would fit perfectly with this album. Is that a Screamin' Jay Hawkins version of I Put a Spell on You. Did I just say Screamin' Joe? Screamin' Jay Hawkins.
So,
I Put a Spell on You. Yeah.
I think maybe, and it might take some time travel. It might take some, you know, some voodoo of its own. Sure. But having a Dr. John Arthur Brown
Double bill?
No, yeah, double bill, or even like a project they both worked on. That could be interesting.
That would fit, especially in this era, the era that we're talking about of Arthur Brown's music, where he's got that sort of voodoo Louisiana blues kind of feel to it. Perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah. In 2019, he released the album Gypsy Voodoo.
It's funny, and though, instead of Dr. John, it'd probably be Dr. Teeth and the Electric Mayhem. He'd probably fit better.
Yeah. And then finally, this last year, this year, was released Zombie Yelp.
Which has got good reviews.
Really?
Well, Yelp reviews.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
Wow. Right. Yeah, that was right out there, too. That was like flop.
That was not you. That was me missing the obvious joke. Hammond, save me.
I do want to say, though, that there should be a documentary about this guy. I don't know if there is one or not, but if there isn't, someone needs to get on that, because this guy has done all kinds of stuff. He's worked with everybody under the sun. We need to see this movie.
Yeah, I'd be amazed if I'm not seeing anything listed. There's the only appearance I show for him is Glastonbury Fair, which is a concert film.
Well, he was in Tommy.
Well, yeah, okay, right. But yeah, there's no listing. You think this would be a perfect subject for a documentary.
Yeah.
It's the Great Pumpkin, Arthur Brown.
You know what? It's probably in the works.
If it hasn't been yet, it's going to be.
Arthur Brown, come home. Arthur Brown, bigger, longer, and uncut. I mean, everything fits.
An Arthur Brown Thanksgiving. You're a good man, Arthur Brown. Hammond, save us. What are some statistics and general notes?
So he was a contributor on Tales of Mystery and Imagination by Alan Parsons. He did vocals on the Telltale Heart, which kind of spills the popcorn in the lobby because that's going to be coming up later.
Yeah.
Then he was in The Chemical Wedding by Bruce Dickinson. He was reading poems by William Blake, and he appeared as Satan in the video for Killing Floor, and he's been in others. He's been a huge influence on many performers. He's a pioneer in the shock and prog rock worlds, has an influence on both electronic and metal acts. And directly, he's influenced Alice Cooper's stage performance and look, as well as Kiss, David Bowie, Peter Gabriel, Marilyn Manson, George Clinton, King Diamond, Ozzy Osbourne, The Prodigy, and I can keep talking.
Yeah, yeah. Clear influences for some of those. And some of them you think about it like, oh yeah, you know, there was an album, it might be the Faster Than the Speed of Light, that kind of began feeling like an older Peter Gabriel album.
Mm-hmm.
For sure. Boy, this is going to be a real shocker. So let's say you get to see Arthur Brown in concert. And it's funny because looking this up, you know, you've got either Arthur Brown, The Crazy World of Arthur Brown, Kingdom Come, et cetera, et cetera. I'm putting all of those into one place or into one combination here. Okay, Hammond, what song do you think you're always going to hear from Arthur Brown in concert?
You might hear Fire not just once, but twice every year.
Just might, absolutely, is number one song in each of those iterations, those touring iterations, followed by I Put a Spell on You in all of his iterations. So that cover of I Put a Spell on You is always up there. As are Nightmare, Fire Poem, Devil's Grip, Kites, Want to Love, The Unknown, Touched by All, and Sunrise. All very, very popular in his live performances. Lots of covers when you look at it, but then you realize that because of the different iterations, you know, this is a cover of Kingdom Come, Arthur Brown's Kingdom Come, and this one's a cover of The Crazy World of Arthur Brown. So it's really, aside from things like Screamin' Jay Hawkins and I've Got Money by James Brown, Don't Let Me Be Misunderstood by Nina Simone, that's a great one. Then that's what you end up with. All right, let's talk about covers, since we were just talking about covers. Who would we like to hear Arthur Brown cover? And this is a cool one because you know, he's still around. He could easily do this. He's never released a cover album. How cool would it be for him to release one? Let's start with me. My pick for what I'd like to hear him cover is Pink Floyd's Brain Damage. Now, hear me out. I'm not saying anything about Arthur Brown's mental stability. However, his vocal style with his like wavering voice and I think he's got a really, really cool sound that would kind of work for Brain Damage. You look at the original version, you've got David Gilmour and his really smooth sound, his really smooth vocals. Arthur Brown would kind of be the antithesis of that, kind of like the person on the inside looking out, as opposed to David Gilmour is on the outside looking in kind of feel. So keeping the narrative, but kind of changing the perspective. It's kind of cool. How about you? What have you got?
So I had him kind of return the favor. I want him to do Iron Man by Black Sabbath. So Ozzy covered Fire, and I'd love to hear him do one of their, you know, mainstay songs and have him do Iron Man. It's a simple, there's no explanation. I just want to hear it.
Yeah, I think that'd be cool. I do love it when bands do that, when they cross covers like that. Like, all right, I'll cover your song. I'll scratch your back. You scratch mine, as Peter Gabriel named an entire album after that process. We talked about his greatest hits. Let's say you pick that up. You pick up Fire, the Story of Arthur Brown, but you want some more. You want something else to kind of add along to that. Well, we've got it. We've got some deep cuts here. Five songs from each of us to add to a set list to combine with the greatest hits to give you a really, really good variety of well-known and lesser-known stuff. Although, really, Fire is going to be, for me, the only thing that was well-known that I heard this time around. I'll start off with mine. The first one I have in my list, it comes right from that first album, Give Him a Flower from The Crazy World.
If you're lying with your girlfriend on the sunny esplanade and an 8-stone bully kicks sand in your face and pours all your suntan lotion into your lemonade and takes your girl and also takes your place.
Talking about people that you run into in your daily life that suck and your solution is to give them a flower instead of starting a fight or yelling at them. I don't know. Maybe we could use those thoughts today. And what's great is the second verse references, like actually says, you remember the character I introduced to the previous verse, which is great. It's so such a funny Zappa thing to do. And I got hooked right from there. Chisholm in My Bosom gave us the song Monkey Walk. Bassline. That's all I wrote notes wise, but I really did love the bass line on this. Speaking of arrangements, Faster Than the Speed of Light was the album that had This Is It. Here it is. This is it. Also kind of a really cool arrangement. We talked about Giorgio Moroder, and I think on your top five list was Son of My Father. This one has a track that's a lot like that, or an arrangement, a bass line, mm-hmm. keyboard line that's kind of like that. Really simple, really fun. Then for me, it was like a big gap until I get to the next one. Zim Zam Zim and a song called Want to Love. Really, I like that one. When molesting a child,
you left you feeling defiled. Now 15 years later, after a childhood confused, so bluesy and like I mentioned, kind of Black Keys feeling
I wouldn't be surprised if it was produced by Dan Arbach or Arbach from the Black Keys. But the song Want to Love was the one that really drew out, separated from the pack for me, and really, really enjoyed the bluesy arrangement on that one. Very simple, which I really liked. And finally, something even more recent from his Gypsy Voodoo album, a song called Radiance. Now, we go from all of these songs that he's singing to something that I forgot I just really liked. And we get that a little bit with I Am the God of Hellfire, but it's basically Arthur Brown speaking over a musical arrangement. And I really like that most of all in all of his music. I like his speaking voice, his almost poetic speaking voice.
Pure radiance. What is shining?
So Radiance on Gypsy Voodoo for me was a really killer track.
So overall, what did you think of him?
I it was an Oreo cookie for me. Except I like the filling of the Oreo cookie. It was a it was bookends, right? Like I really enjoyed the beginning. I really enjoyed the last few albums. I had a hard time with some of the stuff in the middle, being very almost too experimental and unfinished feeling.
Okay.
How about you?
Well, I have to say that this was eye-opening. I knew a few more songs than you did, but I was still relatively unfamiliar. And coming out of this, I feel like I'm probably going to own some Arthur Brown, but I'm going to pick and choose what I own.
Sure. Makes sense. Well, you can start with your playlist.
Yes. All right. My first one is his newest song, Zombie Yelp. This was released this year. Sounds like it was recorded in 68. I mean, it just sounds like it was written in 68 and played in 68, just with good fidelity and technology. But this was a really fun song. And it'd be fun to build a playlist that has zombie in the title, like Ozzy Osbourne's Zombie Stomp. We have Zombie Yelp.
Yeah, Zombie by the Cranberries.
Uh-huh. Yep. So that'd be kind of...
I hear that has good reviews, by the way.
Yeah. You know, hey, someone else said that joke earlier. I picked a cover. I picked House of the Rising Sun. And I know it sounds like it's from a cheesy Haunted House tape. Because it just does. It just sounds. Yes. But this is such a good cover.
It's you know, he does the thing that I like, which is keep it in his wheelhouse, like basically put in his style. It didn't make the mark for me, but I still appreciate the fact that he was true to his sound.
Right? Yeah, and I had a feeling you weren't going to pick it because of that kind of. I don't want to say. It felt. How do I put it? The production level wasn't what it should be because it did sound like it was from a cheesy Haunted House.
Yes, date. Very, very tinny and thin sounding. Yeah, I really wanted to pick a cover and he's done several, as we mentioned. You know, mm-hmm. I Put a Spell on You and Hard Rain's Gonna Fall by Bob Dylan. I really wanted to like that a lot more than I did, his cover of Hard Rain's Gonna Fall. Yeah.
My third one is called Stormwind. It's from Speed of Light. This one sounded like Alan Parsons had a hand in it. It just sounded very produced and very smooth, kind of like an Alan Parsons album does. Mm-hmm. And I don't know for a fact if he did or did not, but it sure sounds like he could have influenced it one way or another.
In the name of a big city in World of Warcraft, whether it's related to or not.
Oh, yeah. Well, you never know with this guy.
You never know. It's totally true.
My next one's a double. I'm kind of snuck in two. The first one I picked was The Teacher, and it leads right into the next one called The Experiment. It's on Kingdom Come.
Good morning, children. I'm glad to see you here. Na, 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 na. You're growing older daily. There's something you must hear.
This had me at the very beginning, was like, good morning, children.
Yeah.
And then it turned into an experiment in Zappa. And every prog band ever must have listened to this. Genesis, yes. I know it's two songs, mm-hmm. but they play straight through. But, mm-hmm. you know, this is one of those things where once you've heard this, you can go back through and there's so much yes, particularly yes in this one. Mm-hmm. I'm like, ah, this sounds like he just pulled in yes to play background on this album.
Maybe he did.
He's he might have. Yeah, again,
in the industry.
You never know with this guy. And then the last one is actually not him. It's Alan Parsons. And like I said, he did the vocal line, the vocals for the Telltale Heart on the Tales of Mystery and Imagination that Alan Parsons did like in 76.
You would have seen his eye reflecting in the light.
It's really good. And if you just want to hear him sing and work on someone else's stuff, this is a great example of it. The scream at the beginning, the first scream, not great. Mm-hmm. But everything beyond that really does fit the story. It fits the line. It seemed to be a genius move from Alan Parsons to put this guy as the crazy guy from Telltale Heart.
Right. For sure.
So there's my list.
It fits, you know, and that's a great capper to your list too. Like it's as much a Arthur Brown song as it is an Alan Parsons song, even though it's on his album. It's like you don't have this level of insanity with any other artist. Yeah. Who are we doing next episode?
You are having us do Slayer.
I'm having us do Slayer. I don't think I picked this one, but
this falls under the we're covering the big four. This is the one that I actually strategically placed this one because I thought Anthrax you could get through because they're more punk. Mm-hmm. Figured Megadeth was one of those ones, it's just straight metal. His voice is his voice, but we got through that. Mm-hmm. This one, Slayer, is one I even struggle with, especially in the in the 90s and beyond. Everything from like the 80s, Slayer, I'm good with. That's fine. After 90s Slayer, I have a really hard time with them. So this is going to be a test for me as well.
Whew, I'm nervous.
And you should be.
How many albums are we talking about?
Let's see. How many are there?
Looks like about a dozen. All right. I can get through a dozen.
And I've already picked my songs.
Have you?
Yeah.
Boy, you peed on that quick.
Yeah. I felt like I had to.
All right. Any covers?
Actually, they do. They do a cover of Anagata Vita for the movie Less Than Zero.
Oh, right. I've got that in my library. Yes. Cool.
Well, Brian only has to pick four more songs.
Just four more songs is all I have to do. Is all I have to pick. Great. All right. Well, that's what's coming up next week. But between now and then, of course, we'd love to hear from you. You can email us at soundographypodcast@gmail.com. You can visit us on Twitter. We are at The Soundography. Throw us a follow. Throw us notes. Reply. Like stuff that we say. Any of that stuff on Twitter. Everything else right there on our website, soundography.com. We've got a backlog of all of our episodes where you can go and listen to them. I guess it's not a backlog. It's a back catalog. Maybe we do have a backlog. I don't know. But we've got a back catalog. You can go back and listen to all those. You can also support us on Patreon. And if you do, you get extra bonus content. We're about once a month. We're checking out a music-related film or documentary and all stuff that's almost always stuff that's streaming, so you can check it out and watch along with us and hear what we have to say about it. Also on the website, you'll find links to songs on Spotify, our playlists, as well as a link to the album we recommend. In this case, it is Fire, the Story of Arthur Brown, as we mentioned. Hammond, anything else?
Tuck in and go to church.
For Slayer?
Yeah.
I can't wait for this. All right. On behalf of Hammond Chamberlain, this is Brian Emmett saying that just about covers it. We'll see you next time right here on Soundography. Decided just to go with it.
Lean into it.
Lean into it.
Show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.